the Corojo wrapper. Now this is like Cuban Cigars 101 back in the day, but they don't actually grow Corojo, I think, anymore in Cuba. You grow it in Honduras. There are parts in the U.S. that I think you grow Corojo. But this from Rojas, this is an Ecuadorian Corojo. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker. He is Johnny Good News, America's happy hour anchorman. Do you have any other nicknames?
The Southern Dandy.
Fingers Malloy right there. And we are smoking from Rojas Cigars, the Rojas Bluebonnet Lancero. I am a flat-out sucker for a Lancero. This is a 7x38. I thought it was 7.5. We'll call it 7, which means it's 7 inches long. And the ring gauge is a 38. It's the diameter of the cigar, or really how thick it is around. Again, with the laughter right there. Always makes them laugh, those things. People avoid this cigar because it's too dainty. Because of the way it feels in the hand, if you're a bigger guy, it just doesn't feel right. I hear you. Except for the fact that you're missing out on the ratio. This is more wrapper to the binder and the filler, which means more flavor overall. It's not that binder and filler don't add flavor. It's that flavor is in wrapper. And so a Lancero is just this great expression of what the leaf has to offer. Now, Rojas is not a name you might be super familiar with. If you know Stolen Throne, which we came across at the Premium Cigar Association trade show, he's associated in that world. The blue bonnet that we're smoking, this Lancero, is this, well, the leaf is very, very pretty. It is a very standard brown to a lighter brown, not necessarily oily. As a matter of fact, there might be one or two spots I would consider dry, but it could just be a little bit of grit in the cigar. Usually I like a grittiness there. But it feels good for a Lancero, and you just started smoking Fingers Malloy, you just lit it up, where are you at?
Well, like you said, I just lit it. I'm not really getting any pepper off of it. For me, it's tobacco and it's wood. And it actually has a decent amount of heft in the hand for being a Lancero. But you're spot on about how I know some people shy away from these because they, are dainty. But, you know, often when we describe a cigar that's, you know, full of pepper, we'll call it a pepper bomb, a hit you in the face. A lot of Lanceros are flavor bombs, Tony.
Is that what you call them?
Flavor bombs.
Is that what, again, one more time?
Flavor bombs.
First of all, there is a lovely bit of flavor. I think that the wood point that you're making there is absolutely right. But I think what is happening here is totally tobacco forward. Mm-hmm. Right from the beginning, it is almost a lusciousness. It's a sweetness going on. There's a lot of good smoke on here. That sweetness, when I talk about lusciousness, it's because it has a bit of cream to it. But that wood tobacco forward is exactly where I'd be. You take the first second puff of this, and you're like, oh, okay, all right. No one's trying to overwhelm me. No one's trying to tell me some weird story. They just want me to smoke.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that I'm pairing this with a coffee with heavy cream, because you know that's where you're pairing your cigar with can kind of confuse your palate, because you said you know you're getting a little bit of a creaminess, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely a touch.
And
sure.
I'm like, okay, is that from the coffee I'm drinking, or is it from the cigar?
Well, I think coffee is a solid pairing here. I have got a series of bourbons and ryes running through my head that I would pair this with. There's such an ease right now from this in terms of the flavor that I wonder if there's like a wine or two that I might want to look for. I'm having a little trouble with the draw.
Mm.
Now, again, you're talking about a hand-rolled product. It is possible to have a little bit of issue. That's why we do the, I believe they call it the old pinch and roll, Fingers Malloy.
Yeah, the old pinch and roll.
So you just want to do that. If you feel an area that's a little tighter, you just, your thumb and your forefinger, just slowly rock it back and forth. Try and open things up. And that's all I'm trying to do with it right now. I haven't had an issue like this in a while. It's just a packed a little tight for me.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm having zero issues.
Oh, that's better.
Oh, there you go.
That's better.
Zero right issues there at all with the draw. I'm getting a lot of nice, pleasant smoke coming off it. Unfortunately, I find with the Lancero, I do smoke it faster than I should.
You smoke everything faster than you should.
I know.
Who are you even kidding with this?
I'm sorry.
This is who you are.
I feel like
you
I'm letting
Mr.
everyone
Fast
down.
Smoke.
That's another nickname of mine. The Southern Dandy and Mr. Fast Smoke.
By the way, the Southern Dandy is gold.
I stole it from The Simpsons.
Fingers Malloy, here is the question. Mm. Is this the Rojas Blue Bonnet Lancero? Ooh, spice just hit me.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Right there. I mean, I'm just in the first third of the cigar. Spice just hit on the roof of the mouth and in the middle of the tongue. Oh, that's super weird. Okay. Well, forget anything I said about just trying to be sweet to you. Oh my, you don't feel that?
Not yet.
Oh, good Lord.
But maybe it's because I'm, you know, again with the coffee and
yeah, I'm wondering if it's because of the draw issue, right?
Yeah.
I had to pinch it, right? Maybe I ended up building up a hot spot. You know that can happen, right? You can get hot spots in your cigar, and especially if you're smoking too fast, you might get that bitter or that ammonia kind of flavor. That's exactly what's happening. Put the cigar down for 15 minutes. Just put it down. Let everything cool down in it. When I was having the draw issue, it's possible that some areas were getting a little hotter because I was moving more air over it, and that could have been it. So I'm gonna give it a quick rest, a couple minutes rest, and see if that spice is legit.
Well, I'll tell you what's happening to me is now I'm starting to get a little bit of nuttiness off of the stick.
Well, good.
So yeah, I'm very pleased with it.
So the question is this in your humidor, Fingers Malloy? For $10.25 a stick.
I mean, we're only in the first third, but so far, if you put a gun to my head, the answer would be yes.
Yeah, I'm going to wait to see how this thing smokes to the nub, but I am certainly a fan of the Lancero. Now, what you want to do with this Rojas Blue Bonnet Lancero is you want to grab your notebook. What'd you eat today? What'd you drink today? That all has an effect on how you feel the cigar, the effect on your palate, saliva, things like that. Drinking coffee, that definitely changes things. But you get out your notebook, what'd you eat, what'd you drink, what is the weather like? A little chilly, as we're doing the show in Indianapolis right now. It's chilly, warm, it's weather in Indiana, like with most of the Midwest. Who the bloody heck knows what you're going to get from 1 minute to the next? And then break the cigar up into thirds in your head. First third, second third, final third. And what are the notes that you're getting? Don't worry about being too descriptive. Just get the basic ideas down. When you try this cigar 2 months from now, 3 months from now, 8 months from now, you write down the notes as well. Then you go back and you check your notes and you find your through line. Where it is, what are the flavors you're really getting? And then you know where your palate is with this cigar. The Noel Rojas Blue Bonnet, Noel, N-O-E-L is his first name. The Rojas Blue Bonnet, the Lancero, 7x38 is what we're smoking. And now, is this in the humidor, Fingers? I think what I said is true. I got to smoke it.
Yeah.
I got to bring this thing down because this is the first Rojas I've ever had. Stolen Throne we've done before.
Yeah.
We met those guys, thought they were good dudes and some nice cigars. This is my first Rojas. This is my first Rojas ever. It's time to take some time with it, take the notes, see where we are. You can find everything we do at eatdrinksmokeshow.com, and you can be a supporter of what we're doing and join the community that we're building, eatdrinksmokeshow.com. The eclipse is coming. And luckily for us, Fingers Malloy, living in Indiana, we have got a perfect view at no cost.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The totality of the eclipse that's coming on April 8th, it's cutting through the Midwest, and it's cutting through the whole length of Indiana. And we, right here in our Indianapolis metro area, we're going to have one of the best views in the world.
Is this your first eclipse?
No.
I've only experienced one, and it was a total eclipse of the heart.
Tea, drink, smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and I'm looking for a new co-host. Feel free to send me an email, tony@eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Until then, there's this guy, Fingers Malloy, who is just dad joke lame. Because he does a little dance.
You've just been dad-joked.
In his chair. This eclipse is making people crazy, crazy cash. All across Indiana, a bunch of other states, small towns, big towns, every hotel room is sold out. Restaurants are all booked. People are going to make crazy cash because they're coming to see this full eclipse. We're talking about the moon in front of the sun. That'd be a solar eclipse, or is that a lunar eclipse?
It's a solar eclipse.
It's a solar eclipse. As you know, Fingers Malloy and his Institute of Institutes does a lot of work with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And they have determined that this is a solar eclipse.
Yes.
So this is happening on April 8th. It's going to be all the talk. And there are like the local high schools here are selling out spaces in the parking lot as fundraisers. Everyone's doing everything. Delta Flight 1218 is going to be offering a flight that will depart Austin at 12:15 local time and land in Detroit at 4:20 p.m. local time. They are going to travel the full duration, if you will, the flight path of the eclipse. And they're using a different kind of plane that has larger windows so more people could see out of it.
They have planes specifically with larger windows for you to be able to view
No, this plane events. Just happens to have.
No, but why would you have the larger? Why don't we all have planes with larger windows when we're traveling?
Listen, if you want the plane with larger windows, you should be able to pay extra for the larger windows. Just be thankful you get to fly, which is how the TSA sees it.
God, it's again?
How do they even let me on planes?
Again with the TSA.
I have to stop. I think it's a very fun, cool idea that they're doing this. I don't know if this is the way I would want to view the eclipse. Because after 10 minutes, I'm done, right?
Yes, pretty much.
And if on the plane, I'm still on the plane.
Yeah. And are you going to have to, you're going to have to wear the protective eyewear, right? I mean, you can't.
I don't know. Is this the one where you wear the protective eyewear?
Yeah, you can't look directly into the sun. That's you're going to have a bad time if you do that. So do you have to wear the protective eyewear the whole time just in case you look out the window and then boom, there's the sun?
I don't know. Now, wait a second. On the plane, you have to wear the protective
eyewear? No, I'm just posing the question, Tony.
Oh, I don't know. By the way, it's referred to as the path of totality, which I'm pretty sure was one of the original books of Games of Thrones.
Oh,
Game of Thrones.
See, oh, there it is.
If only I told the joke properly. So it's the path of totality. I think it's a fun idea. Are you going to be around for the eclipse?
I hope so.
I mean, not you're going to die. Oh, I didn't mean,
that's where you're going.
Like that.
I was going to say, have you talked to my doctor? Am I the only one that doesn't care about this?
Maybe. It's fun. It's weird. This doesn't happen all the time. Now, it did happen in 2017. I believe there was an eclipse, but like you're going to wait like 100+ years for this moment of convergence to happen again. My God, wait till they read to you your fortune, or is it your horoscope? Whatever that pseudo voodoo science is.
So you're going to go outside and take part in this?
You betcha. You bet. I am actually scheduled on a trip that week before.
Mm.
I'm going to be in Savannah and coming, ensuring I come back on that Sunday to be here with the family for Monday. The kids have off from school.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, your kids do too. The kids have off from school for the eclipse. And you know what? It's about damn time. Because you know what we've done to kids? We took away snow days. We took away snow days and gave them this god-awful, disgusting, we hate you e-learning bullcrap. Give them a snow day, let them make cookies and play video games or watch TV or do whatever. How much, Fingers, in Saginaw, Michigan, did you love a snow day?
Oh, and we had them all the time because it actually snowed up in Saginaw. It was wonderful, 6 to 12 inches, like every 3 weeks, boom, off school. But for me, Tony, for my money, I think that these kids should be in school and it should be a full day of science learning where they have beakers and lab coats and they're waiting for the solar.
I will give you $20 if you could tell me the kind of burner.
A Bunsen burner.
I owe him $20. Son of a. I didn't think you could pull that one out. I had no faith in you whatsoever right there.
Thank you so much.
Taking away snow days is the most awful. It's ridiculous. You don't need the e-learning day. It's okay to have a day that says, you know what? Enjoy. Everyone be happier. Everyone, why do this to the teacher? Why do this to the kid? Why pretend in this regard?
I don't know. And what's funny is that, back in the day, people would get upset because, you know, if their kid had a snow day, they thought to themselves, my goodness, who's going to watch my kid? And now we've, because of what happened with the COVID lockdowns, people are completely used now to their kids not going to school on a particular day.
But I think that even with that, with a snow day, the employer is like, okay, everyone told them their kids had to stay home. So, okay, you're staying home. I mean, that's just, I we got through it in the past. Why is it somehow different now?
Why is everything different now, Tony? Why can't it be like the good old days?
We are having an argument of whether people are still rational. I get the idea of wanting people to show up at the office and not remote work, right? That makes sense. But if you're an employer, I'm an employer, I employ people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a medical emergency, there's a snow day. You're really going to get mad at someone for not coming in? Where is the what do you as the employer win from that? You know, if it's a random Tuesday and someone doesn't show up for work, okay, I could see being bothered by that. But if it's a snow day, isn't the better thing to be like, yeah, okay, stay home with your kid, have fun. If you make cookies, bring a couple in tomorrow. Like, wouldn't that be the answer?
You would think that would be the answer. I do want to pose one question to you, Tony, about this flight that we were talking about a few minutes ago.
Right, the Eclipse flight.
You know, we keep hearing about how
in the path of totality.
We keep hearing about how
also the name of Fingers Malloy's first album.
Sold dozens of copies. So
Malloy and the Road Warriors is what they were called. Eddie and the Cruisers was already taken. They sing a song called "The Somewhat Dark Side Is Coming," and nothing is really too real.
The hell with my question.
What's your question?
There's enough money for people to just jump on a plane and eclipse chase. You know, we keep talking about people are struggling, and that is true. But holy cow, you see stories like this, and you're like, well, maybe things aren't so bad.
What people will do for an experience. That's a different question. The whole doom spending thing. People will pay for experiences. They'll do it. They want something about it moves them and settles them, makes them feel like, you know what? I'm part of something. You want to talk about how people need to feel like they're part of something? Let's do that. Remain calm. All is well. It's actually a quote from a very famous film. Remain calm. All is well.
Porky's too.
That is correct. Or Animal House, depending on which movie you like. Wait, hold on. It was just Animal House. Tea, drink, smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy. Gmail is not shutting down. There was a viral hoax, Fingers Malloy.
As you know, we like to monitor social media outrage.
There was a post that Gmail would be closing in August. And everyone said, oh my gosh. And then Google has had to now come out and say that Gmail is here to stay. We are going to continue the service and we will continue reading your emails so you don't have to and send you whatever ads we deem necessary. We're Google. We say do no harm, but we don't mean it.
You know what's amazing about this? For a quarter.
That a company worth trillions of dollars is called Google.
Oh, there's that. Can you believe that they were called Google and then they changed their name to Alphabet?
Well, yes. So Alphabet, by the way, is the cover company, is the umbrella company that owns Google and YouTube and whatever else they do. They did. They changed it. It's like Facebook calling themselves Meta.
Yeah. I kind of like Google better than Alphabet.
Yeah.
The name of the company.
Yeah, me too.
But for a split second, I thought that this was possible. I mean, I was like, oh no, oh come on. That's what I thought to myself, because there was no way that was going to happen. But can you imagine if they did? The amount of people who have relied on Gmail for well over a decade, suddenly having to say to themselves, oh my goodness, I think the hoax said that by August it was going to end. You're going to have to take Gmail as your platform and move it somewhere else. There had to have been a lot of panic in the streets.
That's why I still use CompuServe.
Good for you.
I mean, I still have a Hotmail account, and people are like, what are you talking about?
I totally have a Hotmail account. I was just about to ask you some of your old email accounts. Like I had a Budweiser email account.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had an AOL.
Yeah, I had an AOL account.
Yahoo.
Sure.
The one that this is terrible radio. Me sitting here going, oh, what was it? What was it? Let's move on.
No, now I need to know. I had one at AOL. I had one at Spectrum for a short while.
CompuServe?
I don't think I never had one at CompuServe. I also never had a MySpace page. I don't think I ever had a MySpace page.
I had a MySpace page.
But no, if Gmail shut down, I'd be like, oh. I'm like, tell me why I'd be bothered. Well, if there was no Gmail.
The amount of people that use Gmail as, and listen, I know people are going to absolutely slaughter me because I'm not a computer whiz, Tony. I'm not a tech genius.
What?
I know, it's hard to believe.
I've been relying on you for years.
But they use Gmail.
You single-handedly repaired my 8-track player.
That is true. It didn't take all that long either. But they use Gmail for their, you know, their website email. You know, it's like, oh, find my email fingers at iworkatthiscompany.com, and it actually just flows into their Gmail account. All that would have to be changed.
Yeah, but so what?
So what if you've got somebody to do it for you?
I don't see. If you told me I couldn't use Gmail tomorrow, I'd be like, oh. Like, I don't think my life changes that much. Maybe I don't understand the corporate needs from it and everything else. Maybe I'm not utilizing it to my fullest advantage. Maybe that's the problem.
Probably a good thing.
I'm not as reliant on it as I guess other people are. Like, I still like it when someone calls me.
I just had a discussion with someone the other day. Actually, it was my cousin. My cousin texted me and said, do you have a minute to when we could talk? And I just called her. And she said, you called me? And I was like, yeah, I called you like it was 1995. And people didn't text ahead of time to see if you were available for a phone call. They just called.
Just call. That's it. I don't understand why that's a problem. If I don't want to pick up the phone, I won't. I still have all the power. I have never understood the people who they'll be in a conversation with you, and it's an important conversation. The phone will ring, and then they have to pick it up. Why do you have to pick it up? What was there someone with a gun to your head saying, if you don't pick it up, the children die? That no one, just ignore the phone.
Exactly. Oh, and by the way, I have to know you to pick up the phone. That's the other thing. I'm amazed at the amount of people where if they get a phone call and they don't recognize the number, they just go ahead and answer it. It's like, no, I do not answer the phone. If you're not in my contacts, I don't answer the phone. It could go to voicemail and then I'll return your call because chances are it's a telemarketer or something and they won't leave a voicemail. And if you're not leaving a voicemail, why? Clearly the conversation wasn't all that important to have.
So Gmail is fine. It's going to remain. This has been Two Guys Screaming, Get Off My Lawn, brought to you by Eat, Drink, Smoke. Beyond Meat.
Speaking of Get Off My Lawn.
They are looking to build back a business. This is a company that back in the day, we're talking about 4.5 years ago, was worth $14 billion.
Unreal.
And is now worth $463 million, which means they lost $14 billion worth of market cap. $13.5 billion worth of market cap. Because while people love the idea of a plant-based burger, they weren't really enamored with the idea of a plant-based burger.
No.
What they also found is the Beyond Meat plant-based burger wasn't super healthy for you, which is insane because the whole point was, look at how much healthier this burger is. So they're revamping it, and they're coming out with a new iteration that they claim will be even healthier than the original, and it's going to bring back customers. If it wasn't healthy, what was the point of it all?
Exactly. When I saw this story, I thought to myself, wait a minute. I thought Beyond Meat was supposed to be healthy to begin with. What, you're going back to the lab and creating a new plant-based product that's supposed to be healthier? What was so unhealthy or not as healthy with the old Beyond Meat? I guess I I would ask more questions, but I don't really care because I'm not eating.
I will tell you, the only people I knew who were excited about it, a couple of Jewish friends who are kosher, finally they could have a cheeseburger.
Okay.
And it wasn't like a black bean patty or something. Like it was as close as they were going to get, and they wanted that experience. And okay, they were going to do, I never asked them how it was because in the main, I just felt sorry for them. I don't keep kosher. God is going to have to deal with me, and don't worry. He will. Or I'm sorry. She will. I don't know who you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But that's it. I think that it is super telling that you would have to rethink your entire company because you weren't as healthy. People saw that it wasn't as healthy. There wasn't enough there to keep them. They felt that they were doing themselves a disservice. You can rebuild after that. I'm not against Beyond Meat as a company. Go and do your thing. But just as a matter of just of business, you can rebuild yourself after a marketplace has said, we don't think you're healthy.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can. I think you have to completely rebrand. And they should have renamed their company Alphabet.
That's called a callback, people.
No, I mean, how can you? People have already looked to Beyond Meat as their product of choice. And once they were disappointed by it, whether it's flavor or the fact that it may not be as healthy as they thought, they probably have dismissed it. It's going to take a lot to bring these people back.
I think that it's the idea that a company could lose almost $14 billion worth of market share. It's also a great example of these companies are not worth what they say. Could you imagine if someone bought that company? Holy heck. It has been 3 long years since we have reviewed Pikesville Rye, which is a holy dang shame because I love Pikesville Rye. I'm a rye guy, Fingers Malloy.
It's true.
I am rye over bourbon every day of the week. And Pikesville is just where it's at. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. And that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy.
The way you started setting that up with the 3 long years, I had a Titanic movie flashback.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been 3 long years. Some people call Pikesville the Rye of Dreams. And it was. It truly, truly was.
I also want to say, for the record, there was room on the raft. Rose. There was room. Leo didn't have to die. Pikesville Rye from the people at Heaven Hill. This comes in at 110 proof, Fingers Malloy. The age 6 years with a mash bill, 51% rye, 39% corn, 10% malted barley. Now, a bourbon, of course, would have to be 51% corn. A rye, 51% rye. But with the low rye, the higher corn should come in as a what? Sweeter.
Sweeter.
Sweeter kind of product here. Why I like rye over bourbon, that it's weird. There's not a good explanation for it because it's not that I fantasize about the rye spice. It's just that in the way my palate works, I seem to get more flavors that I enjoy. It just better hits my palate than bourbon does. And I'm not anti-bourbon. I want to say, for the record, in my presidential platform, pro-bourbon.
I've heard you at least say once, a chicken in every pot and a rye in every liquor cabinet.
That's honestly, how am I not going to win all 50 states? How do I not win it? It is a classical color right here. We have it in the Glencairn glass, which is that odd kind of glass that's got the foot and then it kind of bows out and comes back in so you can really concentrate your nose into it, get an idea of color, get an idea of flavor. It's a little bit of a honey gold kind of color there. You're not getting a lot of reds out of this when you look at it. But that nose, can I say oh?
Well, first of all, 110 proof, not a hint of alcohol.
Zero.
On the nose.
Absolutely zero.
Caramel, a little bit of rye spice, a whole lot of wonderful.
it is a delicious, delicious nose. It isn't overwhelming. It isn't trying to, be something that it's not, which is something we often talk about. It's not trying to trick you with, oh, it's got this, it's got that. It's molasses. It's marzipan. No. It's just good. It's a very, very, very lovely nose right there. Fingers, I don't think the nose does enough. By the way, you're right. There's no alcohol on that nose.
And you really have to get your nose in the glass, too. I mean, it's not something that hits you. I don't want to say it's a weak nose, but...
No, I would argue that once you're in there, you really got your nose in there. There's also a little bit of a cocoa thing happening. There's a richness that happens, whether you want to call it a cocoa or a chocolate, or maybe there's another flavor that's hitting you. That is there on the underneath. But there's only one way to do this, Fingers Malloy, and that is to give it a taste. Fingers Malloy, are you ready for this?
Tony, I've been ready for this all week.
It is the Pikesville Rye, the 6-year from Heaven Hill. Fingers Malloy is doing what is known as the Kentucky Chew, moving it around the palate. Sometimes you want to take two sips. The first one to really set the taste buds. The second sip to really get the flavors. Fingers?
Okay, first of all, again, I would never guess that this is 110 proof. No burn in the throat or the chest. There's not a warming, but again, as Tony has said several times over the past 4 years, Fingers, you're dead inside.
Dead inside.
That brown sugar, that's there. There's that rye spice. A little bit of floral hits you as well. Look, this is wonderful. It's something that when you said we need to do this again, I thought to myself, yes, Tony is exactly right. We need to do this again.
Thank you very much. Here I go. I'm going in the Pikesville Rye, the 6-year, 110 proof. Here we go.
He's going in, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing what we like to call the Saginaw Swish.
I'll be a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's going in again. He's doing what we like to call the Memphis Munch.
It's freaking candy. It's so good. So I'm going to say something that's going to get me yelled at.
Okay.
And by the way, I've done two sips. So there's a little bit of overall heat going on. A very, very touch of heat in the center chest. That rye spice, there's a little bit of fruity that's going on. That finish is more of an orchard fruit, a bit of cream, maybe you would call it vanilla. It's interesting. It's cocoa on the nose, but a little more vanilla on the finish. Dude, it has been 3 years since we've done it. I am still, and people do ask, what is your go-to? Now, I'm not, and when it comes to bourbon, I don't specifically have a go-to, although I talk about things that are of incredible value still, like Old Granddad 114. Well, big, big, big bourbon. It's this. It's this. When it comes to rye, this is just out of control. It hits me so much like a bourbon. And I think that for true professionals, they'll be like, Tony, you are out of your head. But the idea of that there's this fullness, that there's this flavor that rests in the cheek, that you're the only thing I don't ever get from this is like a good oak note.
Right.
And I never miss it. That's what's so weird. There, this, that fruit, vanilla kind of undercurrent, cream undercurrent, it just satisfies in a way that just knocks me out. It's been 3 years. It's been 3 years since I've had the rye. I haven't had it with COVID or whatever else. It just hasn't been in the rotation. Shame on me. Pikesville Rye.
So you and I both described it in ways that are completely different. You know, we both got, you said rye spice, but for me, it was brown sugar with a little bit of a floral finish. You went with...
I get more fruit.
Yeah.
I get more, but you know, the discussion of let's say dark fruit versus, let's say, an orchard kind of fruit, that orchard fruit would be a bit brighter is how I would describe it. I get it. We have different palates, man.
Yeah, it's amazing. But
I absolutely love it in every way. The question, Fingers Malloy, is Pikesville Rye in your liquor cabinet? That's the question. Is it in your liquor cabinet for the low, low price of $48 a bottle?
Yes.
Now, by the way, it could be different prices in different places.
Of course.
Some places, it's as low as $36 a bottle.
Yes and yes.
It, by the way, to both of them, the answer is yes, it is. It's that good. Now, I have not heard that somehow, this question is still being made, still available. It was here at our local lounge, Pikesville Rye. Fingers, how do you know if somebody doesn't like you?
I wouldn't know. Everybody likes me.
Featuring Smoke, I'm Tony Katz, and that is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. Find everything we do at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. It's, for me, it is always kind of easy to tell that people are just, they're not into the conversation. They're not into me. And I'd be lying if I said, oh, that's never happened. It's happened to me. It's happened to everybody. I've done it to other people. There are just some conversations I'm not interested in. Some people that I just don't want to be around. Don't you notice that, like, you naturally gravitate to people or gravitate away from others? And there are people out there with just god-awful personalities who think they're wonderful.
Absolutely. I got to tell you, you and I met on the conference circuit,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And, a lot of times the conference circuit, the end of the night will conclude at the hotel bar. And there are always a couple individuals that, maybe are in the same circuit that you see at every event. And you think to yourself, there's not enough alcohol in this bar to get me through sitting for 4 hours with this person. And you think they'd be able to read it. Your reaction, because I'll be honest with you. I've known you for well over a decade.
Right.
I can tell when you don't like somebody.
Is that right?
Yes, I can tell.
What is my tell? Is it when I get up and leave?
Yeah, there's that. But also you're looking around while this person is talking and I can sense it. You're thinking to yourself, can anyone else not stomach this person besides me?
So, by the way, that we have this list here from hackspirit.com and 14 subtle behaviors that shows that you or somebody doesn't like you or you don't like somebody. And one of them is they don't pay attention when you talk. That's not so subtle. No. It's not so subtle at all. I do often just excuse myself and I walk away. I'm done here. I'm finished. The idea that someone thinks that they are in charge of my time is laughable. You are not in charge of any part of me. If this is not something I want to be a part of, I'm going. Bye. And if you don't like me, it's okay because I've already declared how little I like you.
Yeah. And the other thing too is I think there are some people that don't do that because they aren't comfortable enough in their own company. I have no problem doing exactly what you're saying and then getting up and going somewhere else and being totally alone at a bar and having a drink by myself or having something to eat. But I'm amazed at the amount of people that would be able to continue talking and not perceive the fact that other people aren't paying attention to what they're saying.
This is the part I've never understood. What is that like? Because we've all run into these people. They will keep going and keep... It's obvious nobody is interested, but they don't stop. They are so enamored with their own voice, with their own statement, with their own conversation. It doesn't matter who's around them. It doesn't matter who is there. They just have this need to keep going. And that's not somebody who is interesting or interested. That's somebody who has an issue or a fetish, and you're just a conduit for them being able to fulfill that. I have no interest in that at all.
To the point where you almost sit back and think to yourself, is this person trolling me? They have to know by now that everyone at this table is not interested in the conversation that they are trying to participate or dominate the conversation in. And it's amazing to me that they'll keep going and going and going and not be able to read a room.
One of the things on this list is you know when someone secretly dislikes you, when they quote unquote accidentally leave you out, like a group chat, and you're not included. Now, sometimes I'll forget somebody in a group chat, and I will go back and text them. And sometimes it's an honest mistake. It is an honest mistake. But I don't think that people are ever accidentally left out, of course. Sometimes you mean to leave somebody out. And I think it is okay when someone says, why didn't you contact me? I didn't want to. My problem is that the lying is what's so gross. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a gross thing to do to oneself. Never mind to somebody else. I didn't contact you because you're boring.
There's that. On the other side of it, say it's me. Say you don't.
Here's Horatio Ignatius Malloy.
Yeah. There are no honest mistakes in my mind. And maybe this is just part of my mental illness. If I'm left out, I think to myself, it's purposeful. And okay, whatever. I got something else to do. It's fine. You didn't invite me somewhere. I don't care. I have a full liquor cabinet and a full humidor. I'll figure out something else to do.
Yeah, I will admit that I've had it happen to me, of course. You know, oh, okay. All right. And so therefore I look at the situation differently and I think of it differently, and that's fine. It's helpful sometimes. And this is why I like honesty in everything. Tell me not to waste my time, and I won't. I'm not here to waste my time. I am not. This goes back to a conversation Fingers Malloy and I have had over the years, that especially as we've done things in the political sphere and in other spheres, like we're in it for the thing, right? We believe something. We're there for it. Other people are in it for what they can get out of it.
Yeah.
And I want to be I want to be around people who are like interested in the thing and in it for the thing. And there are people who we've lost touch with. We are no longer in contact with because it turns out they weren't interested in the friendship, the relationship, the conversations. They were interested in what could be provided to them by knowing us. And when they thought somebody else could provide something to them, bye, see ya. It was never, ever, ever a friendship to begin with. I find that to be so helpful. I'm so appreciative when someone is honest. I can deal with honesty all day long.
You know where you really notice it? It's in Washington, D.C. I can't tell you how many conversations I've been in a Washington, D.C. bar, at a conference, at a hotel bar. And it's not just me. I know this happens to other people, too, because I've had these discussions where they're talking to you, but you could tell their eyes are slightly above your head, glancing up and down, waiting for an important person to walk into the room, and then they will beeline towards that person. Always, clearly, it's not about friendships. It's about networking. It's about finding someone who can help them along in their career. And, man, if you're in that town, I don't know how people live in it.
I lived in D.C. during September 11th.
Oof.
And I didn't work on the Hill. I didn't work in politics. But it was interesting to see other people who were dating and doing all these things. It was very, very difficult because the dating was always well, where do you work? Well, who do you know? And you're not in this. So you don't know this person. Okay, never mind.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not a way to be. At all. So this list will be up at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. But at Fingers, I want you to know that I enjoy your company and I do not secretly dislike you.
You know what, Tony? Samesies.
He didn't look at me when he said that. This is Eat, Drink, Smoke.
I know when you want to keep up with the latest slang, what the kids are saying nowadays, you think to yourself, I should turn to my favorite cigar and bourbon show for the answers. And we're here for it. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Fingers Malloy, along with Tony Katz. Find all things Eat, Drink, Smoke Nation on our website, eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Now, Tony, I was thinking to myself, I want to know, I want to translate for the folks what the kids are saying when they're using certain words that are radio friendly. So I went to thehill.com, which is where I go for all of my Gen Z slang. And they have a list, and we love lists here at Eat, Drink, Smoke. 24 popular terms explained used by Gen Z. And I got to tell you, Tony.
24 of them?
24. Some of these terms, Tony, we even use as Gen Xers.
Is that right?
That's true.
We use the same terminology?
Amazing.
Then why can't we talk to each other?
So true. I ask myself that every day. Well, the first one on the list is one I know you use all the time. Pookie.
I do use Pookie.
Yes.
Pookie, Schmoo, Kitten, Boo Bear.
Yeah. Well, according to the Urban Dictionary, the meaning of Pookie is a nickname you would call your best friend or someone you really love.
Yeah. Pookie. That's that is absolutely accurate.
How many times do you use the word Pookie a day?
A day? Somewhere between 4 and 40.
Oh. I don't actually use the word Pookie.
No?
Schmoo.
Do you shoot?
I think I got that from you.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm going to skip around here. Simp. This is a big thing, especially with what's going on social media, with the social media influencers, particularly the female social media influencers. You see a lot of what the kids call simps. It's when a man is overly submissive to a woman and gains nothing from it.
Well, I think the weirder part would be gaining something from it. I mean, if we're talking about like some bedroom play, sure, do what you do. I'm not here to judge. My safe word is avocado. But what do you mean not gaining something from it?
Well, The Hill used the example, guys simp in her Instagram replies and she doesn't even notice them. And you see that a lot. I would say when you're on Instagram and an influencer is trying to really influence you to go to their OnlyFans page. And so you see, guys, you're beautiful. You're lovely. Oh, wow. You should really wear that outfit more often.
So simp is kiss ass.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that has happened in every generation.
It's true.
Right.
But have they been called simps?
So what is simp short for?
It doesn't say.
What is it a variation of wimp? It's not sympathetic.
No.
All I know is it's one of those words that when you hear it, you're like, I do not want to be that. You hear it and you're like, oh no, that's not for me. Thank you.
I see that a lot on Twitter where someone will react to a pretty woman's tweet or they'll defend a white knight to come in and try to defend a woman's honor. And then someone will chime in and say, don't be a simp.
Right.
So,
okay. Now I know what it is. Now I get it. Yes. That has happened throughout the generation.
Do you know what Riz is?
I do know what Riz is.
What is Riz?
So Riz is short for charisma.
Uh-huh.
And Riz, when you have Riz, it means for guys, you do well with the lady folk.
Yeah. I used that term in front of my 14-year-old daughter, and she said to me, please don't ever use the word Riz again.
Oh, my kids have done that. I keep doing that. And sometimes your Riz is so strong, you're the Rizzly Bear.
Oh, that's a new one.
Or you do it so well, you're actually Queen Elizabeth. My kids could go on for forever. That is Riz. Riz is one I like.
How about
Riz makes sense?
How about Yeet?
I still don't know what it is. I think it's weird that people say it. I think it's weird that people. This started years ago though. Like this was a millennial thing, not a Gen Z thing.
I that's what I thought. Well, apparently Yeet is to violently throw an object that you deem to be worthless, inferior, or just plain garbage.
You yeet it?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I didn't think that's what it was, but
oh, yes.
Who am I to argue with The Hill?
You are no one. You are absolutely no one to do that.
So the next one is moots. M-O-O-T-S.
Moots? I know what moot is.
Yeah, well, moots is short for mutuals. It's when you follow someone on social media and they follow you back. But why would it be moot? Wouldn't it be mutes?
Wait, stop. Say that again?
Moots. M-O-O-T-S.
As in a feeling is mutual.
I guess.
No, that's dumb. No one says that. No one has ever said that.
I believe mutes. I would see that. But are they misspelling this? Am I not pronouncing it? Wouldn't you think M-O-O-T-S is moots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to mutual. Yeah, that doesn't get done.
This is one that I've seen lately on the social media, and people are commenting about it with their social media outrage, Tony. It's when people give you the ick.
Oh, well, ick's been around for forever.
That's something someone does that is an instant turn off for you.
Right.
Yeah. They give you the ick.
But ick is nothing new. No, that didn't get invented.
Are you going to argue with the
right?
Hill?
It's like blech.
Blech is not on the list.
Ick, blech. It's all the same.
Delulu.
What?
Delulu. It's a delusional fangirl or fanboy who believes they can or will end up with their favorite idol or celebrity and invest an unhealthy amount of time and energy into said idol. They're Delulu.
Never heard that, but sure. At least that one makes sense. You can understand where it came from.
You are a radio celebrity, Tony.
Well, according to some.
How many people have you encountered who think they are your friend, but they actually aren't? To where you would say those people who think they're my friend, but they really aren't, they're Delulu.
I've never said it. I would never say it. Why would I say Delulu when I could simply say full of crap?
I don't. Delulu's shorter than full of crap.
Yes, but full of crap is so much more on the nose.
How about sus?
Oh, sus. Suspect. They're strange. They're odd. They're peculiar. They're sus. Oh, no. Sus, I get.
Okay. Would you say that someone who thinks that they're your friend, they're Delulu, they can also be sus?
Yes. But they can't be Delulu because that's never actually been said.
Beige flag.
Beige flag?
I mean, we've heard red flag before, correct?
Right.
Where they are, there's behavior that throws up a red flag for you that maybe you don't want to be associated with a person. A beige flag is something that's neither good nor bad, but makes you pause for a minute when you notice it, and then you just continue on.
That's trying too hard. That is one of those expressions where someone's trying too hard to be special.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Would a beige flag be categorized for a different generation? Something that makes you go, hmm?
Oh, wow. There you go.
Right?
Yeah. Is that
a little CNC Music Factory action for you?
Kids under 50, ask Jeeves, CNC Music Factory. All I can tell you is I can't tell you how many times Tony has said to me, I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut to move your butt to the dance floor.
It's actually part of my wedding vows. Drinking the Pikesville rye, I'm glad we came back to it. You can never go wrong with the 6-year rye from Heaven Hill. It'll work for the whole table. It's an absolute must in the liquor cabinet. It just is. And from Rojas, the Blue Bonnet Lancero. Look, you're going to try it. You're going to make your call. It did smoke well after I fixed it up. It's palate. Is nice. It is just, I don't know if it's my palate. I think that is where I would put the Rojas Lancero Blue Bonnet. This is Eat Drink Smoke.
Follow Eat Drink Smoke on social media, on Twitter at Go Eat Drink Smoke, on Facebook, facebook.com/Eat Drink Smoke, and Instagram at Eat Drink Smoke Podcast.